You maybe name it that. If not, you can, you know, keep working on it. Good guitar playing. You know, it's time for change. All these young people growing up, getting out of high school, going off to college, getting out of college, starting careers. Some of them getting married. Some of them moving away. We've got quite a few over the years that have joined the military. And I really have been thinking this week about all that. It's been on my heart and my mind, and I was praying about what God would have me preach on this morning. And we're going to be reading out of James chapter number 4, verse 13 through 17. And I preached using this scripture completely a different way than I'm going to use it this morning. But this morning what I want to bring to you is a message on making plans. And the question when we're making plans is, are we making plans God's way or are we making plans our way? Because you have that decision to make. Which direction am I going to go? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go to school? Am I going to go to school? Am I going to go straight into the workforce, or am I going to delay that? I remember I told my dad when I graduated from high school, he said, "Son, what you going to do?" I said, "I don't know. I thought I'd just take it easy for the next year and, you know, get my head together." I got out of high school. I was 16. I got out early. I turned 17 after I'd finished with all my credits, and I went back to graduate. I didn't even want to go. I wouldn't even went if my mama hadn't made me. But I learned sometimes you got to obey mama. And I went back, and I graduated, and I didn't know what I was going to do for a period of time. Trying to make decisions about life. But I want to tell you something. We're going to get into the Word of God. You need to be making your decisions on your knees. You need to be praying before you do things, before you act, before you make decisions. Because if you do, things will go a whole lot better for you in life. You got your Bible, let's go to James chapter 4, and let's begin reading in the 13th verse through the 17th verse. And I'm going to be reading this morning from the King James Bible. That's been my preference all of my life. It's what I grew up on. Went to Bible college, and after going to Bible college and studying it, it really just sort of solidified it more in my heart. But this first part of this was we read it. And this is something to understand about the Word of God when you're reading any translation. The Bible was translated from Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And it was translated into English to give us the best understanding. I remember one time I was at a missions conference, and we had a lot of people there, and they were asking questions of the missionaries, and he had talked about they had the Bible translated into Spanish for some people. And somebody was so adamant, they asked him, "Well, is that King James?" And I thought, "Do you really know what King James even is?" I just sat there, and I was trying to be patient, praying for the missionaries who tried to answer the question. No, it's not King James. It's modern Spanish. That's what I wanted to say. And I'm saying that for a reason, because we're going to read this word, and I'm going to try to help you to understand it, because any translation that you have, sometimes, you know what you need? You need the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit is not present, it does not matter what translation you have. I remember one time a missionary told me a story about he went over to a foreign country and he was there and he said, "We were trying to witness to people," he said, "but it was in a dangerous place." He said, "We were out behind an airport and I found a man that saw us coming that run and hid from us, and I finally went up to him and got him and talked to him and I said, 'Hey man, what's going on? Why are you running from us? We're here to witness to you, to help you.'" And the guy had a scripture that was written on a piece of paper in his language. And he was afraid they would catch him with it and punish him. Do you know that you can scratch out a paraphrased verse on a napkin, pray over it, and somebody can get saved because it's the Holy Spirit of God that does the work. It's not man. It's not me. It's not you. So let's read this. It's hard to read, but I'm going to read this. We're going to pray and we're going to ask God to guide us this morning. And it starts off with this. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father God, we pray that you'd open up this scripture to us, to our hearts and our minds. Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit would be in complete control and we'd follow exactly what you want. That God, you'd open up to us, Lord, from heaven, a message that would help us. Give us strength, understanding, and God, we rebuke every evil, everything that would come against us, God, that we would be able to see your kingdom grow and your people grow. And most importantly, God, if there's somebody here that needs to make a plan for eternity, that they would come to know that and accept you today, today in this service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to ask you just a question. I want you to think about it. What is failure? Sometimes we think about failure and we think, you know, and I know some of you, I don't know if you've ever had this, you know, getting these kids graduated from high school. Sounds like a lot of them graduated on the honor roll and they graduated, you know, with honors. Have you ever wondered, God, are they going to pass this class? Are they going to be okay during this quarter, you know, during this semester? You know, sometimes in our lives, and we say this in Celebrate Recovery, what is failure? Failure is not a person. Failure is an event. Even going through high school or going through college, you might fail a class. Or you like might do like me. When I first went to college, I was 35 before I went, and I took a bunch of these classes, and I can remember challenging my professors. I said, I'm going to make an A in this class. I was determined. A lot more at 35 years old than I was when I was in high school. In high school, I had what you call senioritis. I was an artist growing up all my life, took private art lessons, paint, chalk, charcoal, you name it. I've got murals painted in restaurants. Some of you probably didn't know that about me, but I made a C in art in the 12th grade. I had senioritis. I wanted out of there. And I remember one time talking to a guy when I went to college. He said, all you got to do is medal. You got to get a gold, a silver, or a bronze. He said, if you get a medal, you're on the board. You're on the podium. Just get it done. So what is failure? Failure sometimes in our life is an event. But I really want to look at something a little deeper in this message this morning. Because I believe God wants us to understand that sometimes possibly failure is actually succeeding at the wrong thing. Do you know that as a Christian, God has a plan for your life? And you can be successful in your own eyes, but if you're not fulfilling the will of God for your life, you may be being successful at the wrong thing. And in the sight of God, that could be failure. You know, I heard a story of a missionary that went to China, and I've got these. This is one of those little yellow sticky notes that I have on my wall in my office. And it says this: your salary is big, but your job is too small. You see, for the Christian, if you're not fulfilling the will of God, you might have a really big salary because you've been successful at what you think you ought to be doing. But if it's not what God wants you to do, it'll never be big enough. Heard a missionary tell the story about how God had called him to go to be a missionary in China. That's a hard thing to do. One thing that's very, very difficult is being a missionary in that part of the country is learning the language. Folks, I want to tell you that Mandarin is a very difficult language. He mastered the language. He learned the language so well that just like today, there were contractors that needed interpreters that would pay a person that had mastered the English language and Mandarin. They would pay him so much money that it would be ridiculous. It would be so much money that it would be very difficult for the average person to turn down. And they offered him a job, and he said, God has called me to the mission field. I don't feel like this is what I'm going to be doing. Well, will you just go to this meeting? We'll pay you $10,000 just to interpret at this meeting. Now, folks, that kind of thing happens, okay? He said they begin to offer him salary after salary after salary, and this has been years ago, till finally they said, we will pay you $1 million a year if all you will do is just interpret for us at our meetings because our business here is so big it's worth it to us. And this was his response. Your salary is big, but your job is too small. You see, for the Christian, I believe our goal should not be how much money are we going to make, how big of a house are we going to have, but how am I going to find and fulfill the will of God for my life so that I can be living the life that God wants me to be. You know what my prayer is for my sons? I'm glad to have my sons here today. My daughter is about to be on her way to California. Is I want them to fulfill the will and the plan of God for their life. Do I want them to have a nice house? Absolutely. Do I want them to have things? Yes. And I said it a week ago, every father and mother wants their children to have more than they had. But are you giving them what you had? Are you giving them tradition of the things of God, of the plan of God, of following God's will, of living a life where you join hands around the table and you thank God for what you have, whether it's little or whether it's much? Because Paul said, I've learned that in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. That kind of heritage is more than what's in this world. Now I want us to look at this scripture and I want us to break this scripture down to give you some points I believe that God has showed me. And the number one point comes out of James chapter 4 and verse 13. And that is this. Beware of self-centered planning. At the very start of this verse, I said, this English, and this is a translation, says, go to now. Well, let's put this in modern day language. Pay attention, focus, and get your thinking right. Now, if you look at this verse, he says, pay attention, focus, get your thinking right. You that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with business. And I'll say this. A lot of times, I believe God blesses you so you can be a blessing. Nothing wrong with making money. It's all margin. It's profit. The question is, are you doing it? Are you making the decisions you make with God's hand? You see, if you look at this, it said he planned basically for a period of time. Planned the places he would go, planned the procedure, and he planned the profits. You see, the Bible does not discourage planning. The problem was that in this case, this man had left God out of his plans and he did not seek God's will. It's okay to pray about your business deals. It's okay to pray when you see the phone ringing and you look over there and it's your boss calling. It's okay to pray over the contracts. Folks, I want to tell you, sometimes it's okay to pray over the mistakes. Mistakes cost money. I hear some amens. There's some business people in the building. There are times I've called my wife and I said, pray for me. I've got a call coming up. We've got a back charge. It's $300,000 or it's $1 million and I need this thing to work out. I need these engineers to give me the right answer or I may lose my job. You ever pray like that? I do. I ask God to give me wisdom. I ask God to give me strength beyond myself. Well, what do you really think you can do by yourself? I don't think I can do anything. I want to give you some Bible passages that tell us that God is interested in helping us make the right plans. Psalms chapter 32, verse 8 says this, I will instruct thee and keep thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. In Isaiah chapter 30, in verse 21, it says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. John 16, 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Do you believe when you pray that God hears you? I do. Do you believe when you pray that God will answer you? I do. The problem sometimes is we don't get still enough and wait long enough to allow God to move on our behalf. I like this verse, Romans chapter 8, verse number 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I cannot tell you how important to me the movement and the office of the Holy Spirit is. It's important in church. Yes, it is. Amen. But I'll tell you something, folks. It's important in your home. Do you think that I can go home and think that I can live the life that I need to live without God and be the husband that I need to be? Absolutely not. I'd be a mess. That's a problem with a lot of people today. It's one way on Sunday morning. It's a different way during the week. That's not the way that God wants you to live your life. God wants your home to be led by the Lord. And when you go to work on Monday, amen, oh, it's so much. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. No, I'm not. When I get up on Monday and I know I've got to go to work, I'm praying, God, please direct my paths. I'm praying like the scripture says over there in Colossians chapter 3, all that you do, do it heartily unto the Lord. I'm praying, God, help me be able to make good decisions. Do you think you're smart? Now, don't nod your head yes now. What are we without the Lord? Do you realize whatever IQ you have, it's not because you're smart, it's because God gave it to you. If you're pretty, it's because God gave it to you. If you can sing, it's because God gave it to you. If you have talent, it's because God gave it to you. Have you made plans to use what you have to honor yourself, or are you making plans to use what you have to honor and glorify God? Because God gave it to you. See, God has a plan for every area of your life. And I believe this will help you in finding His will. Number one is confession. This is getting right with God. Folks, there is a that says in the last verse, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. If you're right with God, you know it. If you're not right with God, you know it. You know what I hate is get up on Sunday morning and not feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be and know I got a rough meeting and I'm telling my wife to pray for me. I have had her a few times say, you ought to pray for yourself. You got to get right with God. What does it say in Psalms chapter 66, verse 18? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What does that mean? There are times the number one prayer out of your mouth, it might need to be, Lord, help me. Do you ever have the phone ring and there's somebody on the other end that's traumatized and panicked and you know you're going to have to pray for them, but before you can even utter a word with them, you got to get right with God yourself. You got to get the slate clean because you know that you need God's help and you can't do it yourself. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 6 and verse 9 says this, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declaring to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Then the ninth verse says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, folks, I'm thankful for that. You know, I remember growing up, I had a sister that was 22 months younger than me, and we fought like cats and dogs. I'm talking about that didn't like each other. And I used to get whoopings. I remember it got to the point when we was in about the middle school age, it was like every day. My mama'd get a hold of me, and she wanted you to feel it. I mean, there wasn't none of this like my dad. My sister would go get between the bed and the wall, and she'd scream. And my mother would get wore out whooping me, and by the time she got my sister out from behind the bed and the wall, she was wore out, and my sister would get a couple of licks. I got wise to that. So when I was into it with my sister, if my mother was coming, I just went to work on my sister real good. That's confession. It might have even been B.C. before Christ. But I said that to say this. You ever remember when your mama was real mad at you? Oh, you done something you shouldn't have done. I can remember even a few times I've caught Luke. I remember one time we pulled up in the driveway and the lights hit the back of my truck. And I said, where in the world did that dent come from? And he just kind of was real quiet. I looked in the mirror, and he owned up to it. He had run the side-by-side into the back of the truck. He didn't tell me, and he just eased it back in the garage. I remember that day he just got out of it and just walked in the house and didn't say a word. You ever had them real mad at you, and all of a sudden, but you know what? It does not change the way they love you. You remember that? You remember the times that you were able to sit down with mama and daddy and be close to them and talk to them? I can remember the most difficult times of my life that my mother and my daddy, when everything else had failed, they would sit with me, Brother Tommy, and they would cry with me, and the tears would run down my face, and the tears would run down their face. I want you to understand something. God wants you to be right with him, but it is not because he's some big judge waiting with a stick. It's because he loves you more than you even realize. And he knows that the decisions you make and the plans that you make when they're not made according to his will, the pain that it could potentially cause in your life. God doesn't make rules for us because he wants to make us miserable. It's because he wants to keep us from hurting ourselves. You see, if we want to make plans the right way, maybe we need some confession. Next is we need some consecration. This is surrendering to God. You know, the fact is, you got to ask yourself the question in church this morning, do I really want to know the will of God for my life, or I just want God to help me with my plans? There's been a few times that I've had to pray and seek the will of God, or I might have made a mistake. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, one of my favorite verses says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I've been working for the same company a long time. There's pros and cons to that. I remember one time I was in a position that I was dealing with a lot of customers, and I was getting job offers, seemed like every week. I remember one time, a customer sent me a roll of drawings, and rolled up inside of that roll of drawings was a written job offer. It basically took the salary that I had at the time, and I was estimating manager, and it doubled my salary. It also gave me a bonus structure that gave me another 50% on top of that. It gave me a phone, and it gave me a truck, and it was out in the middle of the country in Virginia, and I knew there was good deer hunting there. And I looked at that salary, and I looked at that offer, and I was just like that missionary might have been for just a moment when your eyes get big and you think, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? But what I found myself as I begin to pray and seek the will of God, and I said, God, is this the place that you want me? God, it's not just my job, because as a Christian, as a preacher, your job is your job. Serving God is first. I said, God, is this where you want me? Is this your will for my home? Is this your will for my family? And God began to trouble in my heart. And I began to realize this is where my children will grow up. This is where my children will find their husband and their wives. And I begin to know by that still small voice, that Holy Spirit that speaks to us to let us know that God is there, that this was not God's plan. And I want you to understand something, folks. Just because something looks good, just because it sounds good, you better pray and seek the will of God or you might make a mistake. Do you want the will of God or do you just want God to help you with your plans? And then here's something else to consider. You got confession, consecration, but what about concentration? When do we sit down and quit listening to everything else and start listening to God? When do you become a man or woman of God? It's when your relationship with God is strong enough that you and the Holy Spirit and Him can have fellowship. And you can listen to God and be obedient to God and follow God. And I want to give you a thought, and I want you to think about this. You will never hear and understand the will of God until you want to. Now, did you get that? You got to want to. If your emotions are so high and so strong about something or somebody or something that is in your life, until you get willing to understand the will of God, you're not going to be able to hear and know the will of God. So the first thing that this man did is we need to understand, he said he needed to beware of self-centered planning. Number two is he needs to beware of self-confident presumption. You see, life is but a vapor that appears for a short while and then it vanisheth away. Look at this 14th and the 15th verse. It says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away. For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this, or do that. I remember when I was just about 18 years old, my family lived in Ellijay. I was working for a glass company in Douglasville. I drove 81 miles one way to work when I went into the office, or else I was driving to a job site around Atlanta. Folks, that's hard to do. Sometimes we're out in the country and Luke says, what do these people do out here? I said, they drive. But I can remember driving into this company, and I remember a guy that I worked with. He was a self-professed atheist. And folks, I want you to understand something. When I was 18, and I've said this to you before, a lot of people don't know if they can digest this, I was just like I am right now. Because I got saved at 12. When I surrendered to God, I gave it to God. And I've been preaching, Brother Billy, ever since I was 18. I grew up. It wasn't that I didn't know it. It's like these kids that are in Awana. They can't tell you they don't know the Word of God. It's been poured on them for 14 years. Sometimes I hear people say, well, they ought to teach this. They've been teaching it. You just ain't been listening. But I remember when I was in there working with this guy, he was an atheist, and every now and then he'd say something, and I had a saying that came from my dad. I picked it up from him, and I would say this, well, if it's the Lord's will. Y'all remember hearing that growing up? My daddy would say something, Lord, I want to go fishing. He said, well, Lord willing, we'll go. You'd say something about going up to, you know, maybe look at a truck or a tractor. He said, well, Lord willing, we'll get up in the morning. That's just the way that he was. Well, where did that come from? Right out of the Word of God. Right here. That if we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But I remember saying this to that guy, and he looked at me and he said, can't you leave God out of anything? And this is what I said to him. I said, how can you leave God out of anything and expect it to prosper. And folks, that's what this whole message is about. Because if we presume, if we think that we're going to be able to accomplish something, you don't know what tomorrow holds. God does. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, the fact is, even as a young age, time is fleeting. Be careful not to waste time, and don't take the time that you have for granted. You see, sometimes we think, well, I'm strong, I'm good, I can do this, I can do that. Folks, I can tell you story after story where people had career changes because of things that happened in their life. Physically can't do the things that they used to do. Well, I want to tell you there's also the door of the mind. If you right now are in great shape and you're doing great things, I want to tell you one wrong decision on the road can change that. One wrong decision can affect your thinking and mental processing ability that you will not be able to do the things that you thought you ought to be able to do. But I'll tell you something else. As blood flows through the body, all it takes is one blood clot the size of a pinhead to hit the right vein in your mind, and you will not ever be able to process information the way that you can today. And we take things for granted and we don't realize that it is God that holds our very breath. Therefore, we ought to glorify God with everything that we have. Number 3, look at the 15th verse. It says, for we ought to say, if the Lord's will, we live, do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And here's this one. Beware of self-complacent procrastination. Now remember, there's nothing wrong with making plans. All this message is about is, folks, please understand how important it is to make them with God. See, procrastination is simply putting things off. That was kind of like me when I told my dad. I said, I thought I'd just take it easy for a year. My dad was a self-employed painter and a pastor. He just looked at me. I think for the first time in our relationship, he did not know what to say. Obviously, it didn't act that way. I went to work immediately, but be nice, wouldn't it? You see, procrastination may be the biggest problem some people face today. When you think about what causes people not to come to Christ, procrastination is saying, I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll put it off. Procrastination may be the thing that causes some people to die and go to hell. You see, the sin of omission or procrastination is very deceptive and it's very dangerous. I remember one time having a conversation with a guy that I worked with, and he was a procrastinator. And he was getting older, and I said, you are getting older. People need a life coach. They do. They need somebody that can help them make better decisions. Somebody that can sit down with them and say, have you thought about the consequences of your actions? Have you thought about what your life is going to be like tomorrow? Now, folks, you still got to have God in it. As a Christian, when I have a conversation with anybody, God's first. And when I talked to this guy, I said, you've been paying high rent for 20 years. You could take that rent and turn it into a house payment, build equity. Do you ever want to retire? Life coach. Maybe I ought to, if I ever get to, I'd like to do that as a part-time job, because I see people making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. It's bad relationship after bad relationship. And then they wonder why their life never changes. When's the last time we got on our knees and said, God, give me wisdom. Guide me by your Holy Spirit. And I talked to him and I said, I am your friend. You ever had to talk to somebody? The Bible, doesn't the Bible say faithful are the wounds of a friend? Amen. I said, I am your friend. I want to help you. Go buy a house. He went and bought a house. The market has gone up so much, he came in my office and he thanked me. He's been in the house about 10 years now. He said, I have enough money in that house that I could, you know, if he said this, he said, if it was just me. I said, it ain't just you. Let's have another conversation. He said, thank you. I want to tell you something. Maybe you need to get with somebody that's got some godly wisdom and sit down. What did we say earlier? If you're ever going to find the will of God, you got to be willing to listen to the will of God and let God work in your life. But if you just keep thinking that things are going to be the same all the time, let me tell you what you get when you keep doing things the same way. You keep getting the same results. What about planning? You know, okay, we can plan financially, we can plan for education, but I want to tell you what's most important. Most important thing today is consider planning for eternity. You see, the reason a person is not saved is because they have simply failed what they need to do. You think, well, people go to hell because of sin. Wait a minute. All that's been paid for. The cross of Christ took care of all that. The Bible says over in the book of Galatians, he took everything, the handwriting that was against us, and he took it away and he nailed it to the cross. See, a man is not condemned to hell because he is a sinner. It's because those sins have been paid for by Jesus Christ. A person is lost and condemned because he has not believed and accepted in Jesus Christ. In the book of John, chapter 3, and verse 18, says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I want us to consider, if we plan for eternity, how important it is. I want you to really, really get a hold of this. There is a God. You are not him. And without him, you will spend eternity lost. All you have to do to be saved is believe and receive what God has done for you. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to do work. You just have to realize that everything that's written in the Word of God, every rule, everything that God speaks to us about is because he loves us and he wants what's best for us, and he does not want you to believe the counterfeits that the devil has to offer you. Do you know that everything that Satan offers people today is a counterfeit for something God has that is better? You need to plan for eternity. What about planning in your home? The sin of omission is why many homes are falling apart. What do you mean? Well, we're simply not doing the things that we ought to do. Sometimes homes fall apart because of drinking or drugs or infidelity or financial things. But I want to tell you something. The most important thing you can do in your home is have Jesus Christ as the head of your home. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you put Christ first, and I'll say this, I believe it. You know, the Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's nice. When's the last time you got your spouse by the hand and just got down by the bed? And prayed. Ask God to bless your home. Ask God to give you direction. Ask God to help you. There's been a few times that I've had to learn things about myself. You see, I deal with people all day long at work. I get 150 emails. My phone rings off the hook. And I have to be nice to people that I don't like. Then I come in from work and my wife asks me a question. I snap my fingers and I say, do this, this, and this, and this. Then she says something else, and I'm this and this and this. You know what I've learned over the years, Brother Billy, is my wife doesn't want me to give her all the answers. She just wants me to listen. She just wants me to sit down and be a husband and give her some time. And I remember one time she told me, she said, you come home from work, and you're so quick, but have you been nice to those people at work all day? And I'm just going to be honest with you. The Holy Spirit convicted me, and he said, if you can be nice to those people and you can pretend when you don't like them, you're with the one that I've given you to spend your life with, be nice to her. That's making plans for your home. That's being intentional. Do you know what agape love is? Agape love is not, ooh, she's the prettiest thing I've ever seen. It's not, ooh, he's a hunk. That's not it. Agape love is, I love my pizza with pepperonis, Italian sausage, and onions and bell peppers. That's not love. Agape love is an action of the will where you make a decision that I am going to do the right thing because it is what God wants me to do. And I'm going to love you on the good days. I'm going to love you on the bad days. I'm going to obey the will of God regardless of whether I feel like it or not. That's agape love. That's making plans for your home. Then the last, and we're going to be done, is planning for my church. Same thing. The reason many of our churches are failing today is the sin of omission. We neglect to do what we ought to do. There have been times, and we've gotten some of this lately, people try to tell Kendra and I what we ought to do. Y'all get that sometimes? You ever have anybody try to tell you what you ought to be doing and you look at their life and you think, you are a wreck. What are you telling me? Have you ever looked at anybody, and this is sometimes the way it is, and they're trying to tell you how to live and you look at them and say, you don't even have a testimony. Unfortunately, that's true. Do you know our churches would be stronger if we would just do what we ought to do? The strength of Hiram First Baptist Church is in the people. And can I say this to you? Thank you for what you do. There are many churches today that are our size, smaller, even bigger, that cannot have the ministries that we have because people are not doing what they ought to do. You know how many times I've been up here and we're moving these chairs around and we're getting ready to do something and I see tired people. But I want you to understand something. When you obey God, he's going to bless you. You obey him in your eternal decisions and you seek him, I tell you what he'll do. He'll save you. He'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. You become one of his children, saved by the grace of God. He will begin to work in your life by the Holy Spirit, and your life will be better than you thought it could be. Can I get an amen from somebody that was once lost? Amen. Let me tell you about your home, and I've learned this. If I just get rid of a little bit of myself, I remember one time a friend of mine, he is an outdoorsman, okay? He hunts and fishes more days than he works. This is a guy that kills and eats 125 squirrels a year. And one time I asked his wife, I said, how do you live with him? And this is what she said. She said, I have found that having the right marriage is not marrying the right person, but being the right person. Now, I didn't take it home and tell my wife. I learned from it myself. If I want to have a better home, I got to have a plan to have a better home. What about a better church? You want this church to grow? Start being everything that God wants you to be. Invite somebody on Sunday. Tell them about the goodness of God. And I want to tell you, thank you, church. How many times I've heard people say, you know, I come to Hiram First Baptist Church, and people are just so friendly. People are kind. People work together. So I want to ask you as they get ready with a song, how should we make our plans? Some of you young people making plans. I'm still making plans. I got plans. I don't know what God's plan is. My plans may or may not work out the way that I want them to, but one thing I do know is I want what God wants. Here's what I do. Seek God's will. Then follow it. You see, if I seek God's will and I follow him and I do it God's way, here's something that I must believe as a Christian. God's will for me is better than my will for myself. It has to be. Because God sees things I can't see. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to rise to your feet. As Alicia gets ready to sing. And I want you to consider your plans. Number one, your plans for eternity. If you don't know Jesus, you need to know Him today. I would invite you to please meet Him today. Now, maybe this is a day, whether you're making plans for eternity or you're making plans for your life, your career, your home, that you just want to say, I just want God to bless what I'm doing. Maybe you can take somebody by the hand that loves you and you can say, let's just go ask God to be at the center of the plans that we make and give Him the glory for everything that He does. You're invited to come as she sings.
Oh, to cheer.